Good morning, Power Hour Nation. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show, thepowerhour.com, thepowermall.com. Don't forget the on both of those, the Power Hour, the Power Mall. Those are our two websites. It's great to be with you. I am your honored host, Daniel Brigman. Fantastic broadcast. Holding is William Federer, America's historian. That's what I call him. And for his way to bring the masses, bring the people to history, and is not, it's stunning. And we're so glad he's on. He's going to talk about some pretty creative things. News, we're going to do a little news on the second hour. And also Robert Tactalian from Vitamirs will be here. Do you know how important your mouth is? Well, maybe you'll find out with Robert. And we'll talk about some other things, how he grew up. It's always a fascinating story. His family history is again, stunning, stunning history. Some of the best people in the world come on the show. And it's all about the truth. And so the first guest that we have is certainly all about that also. Digging up, unearthing, whatever you want to call it. AmericanMinute.com is his website, AmericanMinute.com. He has little blurbs of history, digestible bites of history for people every day. It's fantastic. He's world-renowned. He's known throughout the media centers, been on pretty much every major TV network, what have you, speaks all across the country. We're very glad to have him here. William Federer, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, great to be with you.
Well, we were going to talk about the history of Christmas and St. Nicholas and that. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting history there. I want to get to that, but obviously the biggest story probably in the world is the two stories are COVID and the election. And the thought came to me when I was seeing you on the schedule is, have we seen anything like this in the election? Has there been any contested, any competing electors being elected? I mean, anything like that? Historically, give us a little perspective on what you know about that.
Right. So first president is Washington, and he unanimously got elected twice. And then the second president is Adams. Third is Jefferson. Now, Jefferson, when he was running, there was Aaron Burr, who was climbing the political ladder in New York. And Aaron Burr, there's back then, the president and the vice president did not run as a team. It was whoever got the most electoral votes was the president, and whoever got the second most electoral votes was the vice president. The problem with that was you would have your political opponent right underneath of you. So when John Adams was president, Thomas Jefferson was his opponent, and Jefferson basically spent four years networking to win the next election. The dilemma back then was Adams wanted a stronger central government so you could have a navy and a stable currency. Jefferson wanted a weaker central government so we would not have a repeat of King George III and all the abuses. But so Jefferson is the third president, and when he's running for re-election, he's tied in the electoral votes 73-73 with Aaron Burr, who's again climbing the political ladder in New York. Everyone expected Aaron Burr to agree to be the vice president and Jefferson the president, right? Jefferson's already been president for 4 years. Aaron Burr held out, and everybody's like, you know. And so it was not until Alexander Hamilton used his political clout to get one of the electors at the very last minute to switch from supporting Burr to Jefferson. And Aaron Burr was so upset at this, long story short, challenged Alexander Hamilton to a duel and shot him dead. So wow. Alexander Hamilton died, and Aaron Burr's career died. And he went off to the Spanish territory and was so and so forth. That was the end of his political career.
Let me interject.
But that was
real
a contested
quick.
Electoral election.
Let me interject with a question, because you talk about legislatures and Washington was elected unanimously. Back then, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't have popular vote. Well, we still don't have popular vote, but you know what I mean? It wasn't like everybody was voting. It was the legislatures picked the electors. Is that right, or am I mistaken there?
No, that's right. And each state gets the number of electors equivalent to the number of congressmen, but it cannot be the congressman. And then they get two more for the two senators. So, you know, count how many congressmen you have plus your two senators. That's how many electoral votes your state gets. Now, the state gets to decide how they're going to pick the electors. It used to be that you'd pick the electors and they could go, and then they're free to vote whoever they want once they get to the electoral college meeting. Sometimes if these electoral people vote and no one gets a majority, then they're released from a previous commitment and they can sort of go on the fly. And so there's many elections. The most notable is when Ulysses S. Grant was running for a third term, and there was Garfield. And Garfield just got up to give a speech at the convention, and everybody liked his speech, and somebody threw his hat in the ring. And so when they voted the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time, pretty soon more and more people started voting for James Garfield, and he actually won and defeated the two-term president, Ulysses S. Grant, who was, you know, running for a third term. And so after that, you had them, you know, tying these electors to saying, no, you can't just switch at the last minute, and you have to stay with, you know, who we sent you there for. And so, but it's up to the states to decide. Originally, there was one electoral vote per congressional district, and then you had a congressional district for every 30,000 citizens. And it was Aaron Burr that switched away from that and got to winner take all for the whole state. Now, if you entertain the thought of going back to that, then Illinois, for example, all the rural counties could vote for maybe a conservative presidential candidate. And so what if Chicago and its surrounding areas voted for a Democrat? But it was Aaron Burr that did the winner take all for the whole state. So he, again, was in New York, a political, you know, ladder climber. He started the, I don't know if it was Manhattan Bank, one of those banks, and he basically convinced the New York legislature to vote that whoever got the majority of a popular vote would win all of the electoral votes for the entire state. And the state legislature voted for that. And so that New York is now stuck. And then because it was an effective thing, concentrating power, I think, you know, that's when Jefferson pushed that through in Virginia. And then pretty soon all the states did that except for maybe Nebraska. So Nebraska still has each congressional district gets their own vote. And I personally think that would be a great idea. So
it would certainly be a separation of power. I mean, Trump won, you know, was it 75-80%? You know, we talk about this election. He probably won like 80% of the counties. And so a lot of these electorals, I mean, it wouldn't even be close, but power concentrates in the big cities and what have you. Anyway, that is fascinating. Is there anything else has there ever been something where you have competing electors? I know electors switched in 1960 with, I think, Hawaii with Nixon and Kennedy or something happened there. Do you know, is there anything like that we're looking at now? We got competing electors for Michigan, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and it's kind of just out there. Anything like that?
One example is when Kansas was planning on coming into the Union, either as a slave state or a free state. And so you had two Kansas legislatures meeting, each one claiming to be the legitimate one and saying that the Constitution that they wrote up should be the one recognized by the U.S. government as, you know, the brand new state of Kansas. And obviously one was slave and one was free. And they were fighting John Brown and the bleeding Kansas and all those border wars. But those were two separate legislatures. There was the 1877 Rutherford B. Hayes election. And so Rutherford B. Hayes was a Republican, but he was unpopular, and he's running against a Democrat, and it's pretty well tied with the electoral votes. And Rutherford B. Hayes does the infamous ending of Reconstruction deal with the Democrats. So Lincoln Republican freed the slaves. Democrats had slaves. Democrats had the KKK. Democrats pushed through Jim Crow laws and black codes. Republicans pushed through the 13th Amendment, ending slavery, and the 14th Amendment, giving rights to freed slaves and so forth. And so you had the Democrats, since it was so close and since Rutherford B. Hayes was not a popular candidate, he did the deal with the devil, so to speak. He said that if the Democrat South would agree to have their electors vote for him as the president, he would pull all the federal troops out of the South. Why, why was that significant? Because it was the federal troops in the South that was defending the blacks. Ulysses S. Grant started the Department of Justice to stop the KKK, which was, so he had the Democrat Party, but they had a under-the-table violent arm, you know, sort of like today there's the Antifa and, you know, whatever they claim that they stand for, they basically are supporting the Democrat agenda. And you can pretty well know behind the scenes they're coordinating things, but they on the surface have a they don't appear to be in coordination, but they have the same exact goals and so forth. But that was the way it was back then. And so you had Rutherford B. Hayes agreed to end Reconstruction, pull the federal troops out of the South if in exchange for the Democrats having their electors voting for him. Now, there was the came down to the head where the Democrats threatened to filibuster the U.S. Congress when it came to the very date when Congress was to accept the vote of the Electoral College. I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but wow. So you have the states, and the states decide who their electors are going to be, and then those electors vote, and then but they have to send that to the Congress to be rubber stamped. And so the Democrats during Rutherford B. Hayes were going to filibuster that, but then at the last minute they swung this deal that I just explained. Here we are today. If the Senate would say we are going to filibuster, you know, if you get some backbone senators that say we're going to filibuster and filibuster and filibuster until we have the review of all the Dominion software, Dominion voting machines, the solar wind software that was used, and we put the entire electoral process on hold, because if those computers, as the evidence is pointing, switching tens of thousands of votes, and the ownership of these companies is very shady, in that it looks like there's people that own these companies that have a political agenda that lines up with the Democrat Party political agenda, which would mean that there would be a motive for there to have fraud. That if the senator says we're going to filibuster until we look at this, because if this is true, then all of it, it needs to be redone. Set a date a year in advance and say we're going to do a new election with paper ballots and no computers. And, you know, Canada, other countries use paper ballots. I mean, you sit around in a room and you count the things. I mean, we do recounts anyway with paper ballots. You just have paper ballots, and then everybody, you count them until they all agree on them at the precinct level. And then you sign, have everybody sign off on it, and you tape it on the window. Then you box it up and send it to the Board of the Election. But right now, just they're all putting it into the computers, and I can, if you want, tell you lots and lots of stories of voter fraud. I personally ran for office for Congress back in the year 2000 against Dick Gebhardt. He was the Nancy Pelosi before Nancy Pelosi. It was the most expensive congressional race in Missouri history. We had the top three members of Congress come in and campaign for me. Back then it was Dennis Hastert, Dick Armey, and J.C. Watts. And I think that was historic to have the top three Republicans go into the district of the top Democrat and campaign against them. We had Bucky Bush, the President H.W. Bush's younger brother, co-chair of my finance committee. We raised $3 million. Gebhardt spent a combined total of around $9 million. And so on election night in Jefferson County, Hillsborough, Missouri, we're ahead on the computers. And then the electricity goes off in the entire building. When they reboot everything, we go from being ahead to behind. And we say, what caused the electricity to go off? Oh, somebody was doing construction on another floor at 10 o'clock at night on election night, right? You know, and then I had people that I hadn't talked to in years when Georgia claimed to have a water main break. And they said, they called me out of the blue. This is the same thing that happened to you. And of course, it was not a water main break. Someone had stuffed a urinal.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone stuffed a urinal, and they fixed it within the hour. It was just an excuse they needed to cover the voter irregularities. You always need a third person or something else. So go ahead.
No, there's somebody else to blame it on. You need somebody else to blame. Take the blame.
Yeah, a scapegoat. And so So then we're having people call into our campaign office saying, your name's not on the ballot. In five wards of the city of St. Louis, people wanted to vote for me. My name wasn't even on there. And it was up to our campaign to make an issue of it. There was no, entity monitoring to make sure campaigns are honest. Our campaign made an issue of it. And so Dick Gebhardt's campaign and the Democrat Party said, well, tell you what, let's just leave all the polls open till 10 o'clock and then downtown till midnight and just tell everybody to come back and vote again. It's like, okay, how are we going to make sure that they didn't vote twice? How are you going to? And then the next time I ran, they left people's names off the registered voter list. So now they had somebody claim that they went in to vote and their name was not on the voter list. So they brought a lawsuit to keep the polls open. So the judge says, okay, we're going to leave the polls open until 10 o'clock. And then in downtown, we're going to leave them open until midnight. And it was chaos reigning in St. Louis. And Kit Bond was, slamming his fist on the desk. And this is when, Jim Talent was running for office. And the next day, they find out that the person that brought the lawsuit to keep the polls open, Mark Odom, he had died 2 years earlier.
Oh, my God.
The whole thing was bogus. The whole thing was bogus. But the election is over now. And they promised to investigate what went wrong.
This is stunning. Why did I never know this? Why did I never know this, William?
Well, I mean, it was 20 years ago. And so on election day, I ran again in 2004. And the biggest precinct in the Jefferson County, Missouri, was Guffey Elementary School. So I am standing in front of Guffey Elementary School, shaking thousands of hands. I mean, probably 8,000 hands that day. I mean, it was cold. Finally, we get to our planned victory party, and we're watching TV, and I get a phone call from our volunteer. It was a lady named Janet McMillan, and she was at the Board of Election with her little clipboard, checking off all the precincts, make sure their votes. And she says they can't find the box of ballots from Guffey Elementary School. I'm like, what? I stood in front of that school in the cold and for nothing? And so I said, who's in charge? Some 80-year-old lady. She went home 2 hours ago. I said, who else is in charge? Well, so we make a fuss, and finally they go to the basement. They find the box of ballots. They bring it up. It's one person pushing it on a cart. Well, the law says that every box of ballots is supposed to be in full view of a Democratic and Republican election judge till it's counted. And
Wow.
anyway, I mean, it gets even worse than that. So we had an attorney, Grant Johnston, and the next day he is like calling the FBI, calling the FEC, saying this is either voter fraud or at the very least gross negligence. And the next day, Grant Johnston is dead. And 40 years old, healthy, not married. Yeah. Very similar to the way Andrew Breitbart died, right? He was just a single guy, 40 years old and healthy. And,
God almighty.
So these type of things happen, you know, and
they just happen. Yeah. Hold on one second. Todd, I know we got a break in about a minute. Let's just get rid of this bottom of the hour break. Let's just go right through, if that's okay. Do you need a break, William, or can we just go through?
Well, you can do your break. I mean, I did that book on the history of Christmas, although it's quite a subject change from what we're talking about. But
let's do the break. I do have one question about the Trump did an executive order a couple of years ago, which gives him really strong powers if there's foreign interference to do some things almost akin to martial law. The parallels between him and Lincoln, or possibly between him and Lincoln. Do you see anything there? That's one question I wanted to ask you about. What did Lincoln do? Do you see Trump doing something like that? Possibly. We got about a minute before the break.
Yeah, I think he ought to. I think that the other side is got, they've been so compromised with connections with China and with if the Dominion machines are fraudulent, which I believe so, if that's the case and they get away with it, every single election for the rest of American history will be rigged. There will never be another honest election. If this is not sorted out right now, for those, you know, Karl Rove types that say, well, you know, nobody likes a sore loser, just go on. If you let them get away with this, there will not be another honest election in American history. It'll be one-party system.
Wow. There's the break. On the other side, history of Christmas and, you know, maybe something about Lincoln. What did Lincoln do? You know, what does that look like? What does martial law look like in this kind of scenario? Is it warranted? And good old St. Nick. There really was a St. Nick, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just a pagan holiday. There's something to it. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour with William Federer, of course, American Minute. Don't you dare go anywhere.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
I've been taking the curcumin for so many years. I'm up there in age, and I don't have any aches or pain. I haven't taken aspirin or anything of that nature for so many years. If I get a little nagging and I feel maybe a headache's coming on, I'll take about 5 or 6 curcumin, and it's gone. Pain is inflammation. I have always found that if I just take 5 or 6 curcumin, it'll blow it away within 15 minutes.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Now more than ever, we need your support. Jay's standing by to take your call. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your Mammoth food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
I'll get more into this. We're going to do news after the segment with William Federer, second hour. Maybe I'll tell you now, just quick. Anyway, the censorship is out of control. Like, I'll go look for an article, you know, something happened or some, you know, Pfizer. Try to find the article about the Pfizer head, former Pfizer head, questions whether the COVID vaccine can cause sterility or not. You know, because the protein is the same that's in a placenta. So it's reprogramming your body to attack. Go try to find that article. Please. I finally found it. I went to DuckDuckGo. I found the article. I clicked on it and said, this website is no longer available. The censorship is crazy. We're here, independent thought, independent ideas, independent radio, shortwave, you know, satellite, all, you know, syndication, all that we're at. We're here because of you. We don't have a corporate sponsor because the things we say, corporations wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. But we look at the world, we pursue the truth, we give our opinion, we do our best, and you're right there with us. And it's your support, your purchases, donations, prayers, which keep us here. So please support us at the Power Mall. As Joyce always says, buy from the good guys. Please don't support Amazon if you can help it. I know sometimes you can't help it, but if you're going to buy supplements, I mean, you don't even know. You just heard the report by John Navarro from the Trump administration. Up to 90% of some of these categories are counterfeits coming in there from China on Amazon. You do not know. You want to trust your health to possible from China. The label will look the same. Everything will look the same. It'll even smell and kind of taste kind of the same. And it'll be a totally different product. Yeah. Buy from the good guys. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. The quercetin, the zinc, the, you know, as Dr. Lewis, Colonel Lewis said yesterday, the fish oil, all these things at the Power Mall. ThePowerMall.com. Of course, the heart drops are on sale. The Good Health Naturally, the new bladder support at ThePowerMall.com. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Talking to William Federer from American Minute, I call him America's historian. I don't know if he, you know, if that makes him blush. That's how I look at him, because he's able to take these very extensive historical subjects and put them down to everyday use and everyday, inspiration, really. I'm going to ask you a direct question about what we're seeing before we get to your book.
All right.
I was talking to my father, and he was born right after, he's a baby boomer, right after World War II. And I said, you look at this. This election, to me, this is either the biggest story in your whole life Or does the bigger fraud that, you know, there's no election fraud at all? If this is true about what they've done with these machines and how they, it's a basically an insurrection in America, you're the person to ask, is this the biggest story in my father's whole life, if this is true?
Yeah, I think so, because it's the end of America. So you can't have one candidate get 10 million more votes than Obama and having spontaneous rallies with tens of thousands of people, and the other one has rallies with nobody that shows up and doesn't come out of his basement. A little background. So World War II ends, and Germany, France, and England give independence to their former colonies, and they turn into brand new countries with brand new leaders, and they're climbing out of the post-war crises. It's a hopeful world, except the Soviet Union decides it doesn't just want communism running the Soviet Union, it wants it running the world. And so they begin to send KGB agents into countries, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, Lithuania, and they would identify groups with grievances. Ethnically, Bosnians, Croats, Serbs, religiously, Sunni, Shia, Orthodox, economically, racially, it didn't matter. They would break them into groups of victims and oppressors, haves and have-nots. And then they would plan protests that they would escalate into riots and violence. And then they would co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame the leader of the new country for all of the problems. And then they would cultivate weak links in the military. And when the country got panicky and confused enough, they would do a coup or a rigged election and replace the leader with a Soviet puppet. 45 countries fell to communism this way. And in co-opting the media, they would have the media release false polling data prior to an election to show the country's popular leader as being unpopular. So when they would do the coup, people wouldn't fight it. It's called a psychological operation, or PSYOPs, where you would want to condition and persuade the whole country. We did that during World War II, you know, dropping pamphlets in Vietnam, dropping pamphlets from airplanes, you know, that says, you already lost, go ahead and surrender, you know, whatever it was. But you'd mess with their minds to take away their will to resist you. And so they would do this with the media in the news in these countries that they were taking over. Now, Harry S. Truman's the president. He does nothing. He thinks the United Nations that he helped form will bring world peace. And so the next president is Eisenhower, and he can either do nothing or try to stop it. And so he's faced in 1953 with Iran siding with the Soviet Union and nationalizing the oil industry in Iran. And you think, well, big deal. Well, wait a second. Britain has no oil fields, and Winston Churchill changed the British Navy from coal to oil. So Britain needs a lot of oil. So in 1908, Britain formed the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. You know it better as BP. British Petroleum is the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. And so when Iran and their leader Mossadegh nationalizes and takes control of the oil industry, Britain has no oil. There's an oil shortage. They have a worldwide navy with no oil, so they appealed to Eisenhower for help. And Eisenhower approves the first CIA operation to overthrow a country's leaders called Operation Ajax. And the CIA operative on the ground is Kermit Roosevelt Jr., the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt. He is an expert in foreign languages, and he goes to Tehran, and he recruits mobsters and gangsters and radical imams, and he stages protests and riots, and they attack mosques, and they co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame Mossadegh for all of the problems, and they cultivate weak links in the military. And when the country gets panicky and confused enough, they do a coup, and they put Mossadegh under house arrest. They lock him away for the rest of his life where he dies, and they replace him with the Shah, who loved America because we put him in. The CIA did the same thing in Guatemala, 1954, the Congo, 1960, Dominican Republic, Chile, 1973, and the KGB did the same thing with Brezhnev helping Yasser Arafat to start the PLO, and Brezhnev going to Cuba and hugging Castro and helping him to take over, and the Soviets helping to take over countries in Latin and South America and FARC and Colombia and hundreds of coup attempts in Africa. And then the Chinese doing the same thing in the Far East. This is called the Cold War. And so you have these superpowers fighting each other, but they're doing it through proxies in these other countries. And it's basically the basis of every spy novel. You go to a third world country and you run into the Russians, the KGB, and then you run into the CIA, and they're all going to talk about doing an assassination. And the only difference is these tactics are now being used on our own soil. And so we see under the previous president, the IRS was co-opted for political purposes, with Lois Lerner going in to President Obama's office 147 documented times. And the IRS was used to go after conservative organizations. And when Lois Lerner was called to testify before the U.S. Congress, she pled the fifth, stood up, and walked out. And then we have the Department of Justice co-opted with Eric Holder giving guns to drug gangs in Mexico. When he's called before the Congress to testify, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't, and he's held in contempt of Congress. And then we see the NSA getting co-opted with them doing these false FISA requests, where instead of just going after one person that they're doing a suspect of, they do this hopscotch where if this person sent one email to this person, then they can monitor this other person without getting a new FISA. And then if that person talked to that person, they have talked to that person. They basically have an excuse to go after every conservative person, dig up dirt on them. And so the intelligence arm of our government, instead of it being what it was intended to do, just to stop terrorists, now it's being co-opted for political purposes. And so they spent 4 years trying to do a false Russian collusion narrative. And then they, you know, did a false Ukrainian narrative, and they weren't able to get anywhere. And so this is basically a tactic that they've been using for 70 years. It's just being co-opted and used on our own soil. If you study the history, you can see it. But I don't know. Does that make sense?
This is my God. This is what you just said is stunning. That is one of the most brilliant analysis in comparison history and kind of linking this to what we're seeing now. Basically, what we're witnessing, or what we just witnessed with this last election, is a bloodless coup, more or less, is what you're telling me.
Or
coup attempt. It's not finished yet. It's an attempt.
Yeah, if you look at the COVID response, first thing was let criminals out of jail. It's like, really? You couldn't just transfer them to some other prison? Number two, crime goes up in the big cities. Okay, let criminals out, crime goes up. Didn't see that coming. And when crime goes up, some people feel unsafe in the big cities and move out. Who? Maybe those with families. With children, certainly those that can afford to move out. And so those people with pro-family people, they usually belong to one particular political party. And if they can afford to move out, that would be also in that party. And who's left in the city? Well, maybe more people dependent on government handouts. Okay, they belong to a different political party. Then the COVID response was to shut down small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and then allow looters to stand by while the looters trash these businesses. And so pro-business people move out of the city. And then you shut down churches where social conservatives gather and pro-life people gather. And then you let kids out of school, and these kids that have been indoctrinated with Hate America, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, and the 619 Project, they let all these kids out to riot. The net COVID response is more people of one political party move out of the big cities, leaving the other party with monopoly control over city politics. if they wanted to do voter fraud, there certainly would be fewer people from the other party to observe it. And in presidential election years, whoever wins the big cities wins the entire state. Whoever wins the state gets all the electoral votes for the state, and the president is elected by electoral votes. There's a clear political advantage to one party by the COVID response. Crime goes up. Businesses are shut down. Churches are shut down. People of one party leave in higher percentages. The other party has monopoly control, and they have cover, an excuse to do mail-in voting and all this kind of stuff.
I feel a little bad, William, because I really wanted to talk about your book and I want to promote your book. But, I mean, where you're going on, this is just, I mean, this is fantastic information. We got about 12 minutes left. I don't know where you want to go.
Well, this is all in a, I did a book. It's called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. And so it has its subtitle, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. So, and my website's AmericanMinute.com. But again, William Federer, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. One of the chapters in there is the manipulation of media. And it goes back to marketing. You got the Wells Fargo wagon, you got the Sears catalog, and they're selling things. And they find out that if they sell things with maybe a pretty girl, it sells more in the little advertisement in the magazine. And they find out that instead of just listing the product, if they make it look like this product will make you accepted by pretty girls or make you accepted in a group, then people are moved to purchase it, not necessarily based on the listed qualities of that product, but by being accepted more by a group. And so the marketing then was added to fear-mongering. So 1938, Orson Welles, an actor, he reads over the radio H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds. New Jersey is being invaded by Martians. We interrupt this program to bring you this urgent. Martians are... The whole country panics instantly, and people are going outside looking up in the sky to see Martians, right? And so this is studied. This was called fear-mongering. And so, again, it's not just marketing of a product, but it's marketing of a – and then you go to 1930s Germany, and you have Joseph Goebbels is the propaganda minister for the Nazis, and – he noticed that people want to fit in, and people can be motivated by fear, and so he orchestrates these big Colosseum events with 100,000 people in there with pageantry, and then at the front, they all give the Hitler salute, and then it works its way back, and then everybody sees everybody else giving it, and so they give the Hitler salute, but then somebody looks at them giving it, and then it adds to it, then they give it, and everybody feels pressured by this group dynamic that if they want to fit in with the group and they don't want to be isolated and ostracized, they have to comply. Sort of like in Islam, they pray, the Muslim men pray together publicly in a group. It would take a lot of backbone to say, I'm not going to bow, right? But there's this pressure there. And so this was studied after World War II in American colleges. And it was called the Solomon Asch, A-S-C-H, Solomon Asch Conformity Experiment. And they would pull 8 students into a classroom. 7 had been paid ahead of time to be actors. And 1 was a naive participant. And the teacher put 2 cards on the front desk. 1 card simply had 1 line. The other card had 3 lines, 1 longer, 1 shorter, 1 the same. And they would go around the room starting with the paid actors, and they would stand up and convincingly say that the shorter line was actually equal to the line on the other card. And by the time it got around to the 8th night participant, 30% of them would deny their own eyes in order to fit in with the group with what everybody else is saying. They would doubt their perception. They would whatever. They would just go along. It was also done as a wine tasting where everyone in the room was in on it except one naive couple. They poured vinegar in the wine, And this couple writes on their little piece of paper that it tasted terrible, but then everyone would stand up and say, oh, it had character, it was great. By the time it got around to this couple, they scratched out what they wrote, and they agreed with the group. Then someone stood up and said, you know, all they did was pour vinegar in the wine. The couple that had changed their views criticized the person for saying that. And this is a psychological phenomenon called false enforcement. Once somebody buys into the lie, they will follow you around the Walmart yelling at you for you to comply and put on your mask, you know? And so it manipulates peer pressure. And so it's a basic human desire. Little kids want to fit in with the group and wear the same tennis shoes as everybody else. Ladies read the fashion magazines because they want to see what fashion is everybody else wearing because they want to fit in with it. And so now it's been co-opted, not for marketing of products, but for marketing of political ideas. And so now it's gone online where everyone wants to be liked and followed, and no one wants to be unfriended. And so it takes another step with the Google search. It's the number one search engine in the world. And so there's an election coming up. Somebody has a Google search to find out what everybody's saying about a certain candidate and a certain topic. And the result, the algorithms pull up the results. And it'll have positive stuff about one candidate and one particular viewpoint. And it'll have negative articles on the other candidate or censor them out so you can't find them. And the person wants to do the search because subconsciously they want to fit in with what everybody else is saying and believing. And with elections being on, you know, relatively small margins to win a lot of elections, if they can sway a percentage of votes, they can change the outcome of the election. And so there's a guy that used to work for big tech, Robert Epstein, not Jeffrey Epstein, the island party place that the Clintons went to, but Robert Epstein. He worked in big tech, and he is a Democrat, and he did not vote for Trump. But he said that the power of big tech to have these algorithms that can manipulate the perception of the people is too powerful, that it's going to end our democracy. It's not going to be a representative form of government. Now the idea, if I have a minute or two, I can share another little thought.
We got about 4 or 5 minutes, and I got one question for you. So just go ahead quickly, and then let me ask you this question.
All right. So again, my book is titled Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. For most of world history, the common form of government is a king. Pharaohs, Caesars, Kaisers, Sultans, Tsar. As the centuries go on, the kingdoms get bigger because with military advancements, they can kill more people. So instead of killing with a rock like Cain killed Abel, you're killing with a bronze weapon or an iron weapon or a phalanx spear, the big long ones the Greeks had, or a scimitar sword that the Muslims had, or gunpowder that the Chinese had. The weapon changes, but it's that same fallen nature of Cain, Kill, and Abel. So these kingdoms keep getting bigger and bigger. Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, the King of England, you know. And if there's a king and you have an agenda, you got to get in to see him. And so in China, people, you know, would bribe these Mandarin eunuchs just to set up a meeting with them and the emperor. Well, in Athens, they had a democracy. Demos means people, krasa means rule, and they didn't have a king. So if you have an agenda, how do you pitch it to the whole city? Well, they would get the whole city together in the big outdoor amphitheater, and they would put on plays, comedies, tragedies, satires, where they would ridicule and buffoon certain points of view and honor and extol other points of view. And people would leave the theater saying, I don't want to be like that poor fool that was made fun of. I mean, they would name names just like Saturday Night Live. I mean, they would ridicule people. And then the other person, they were noble. I mean, they gave their life for some cause. And so people would have their views manipulated by the play. And so they were all political. And that has transferred into today's media.
Let me.
Go ahead.
We have literally a minute and a half. Finish your thought, and I just have one question. How do you think this is going to end with the Trump election?
Well, I'm praying that he fights to stay in. Why? They're going to come after you and me and anybody that holds traditional values, and they won't let us up for air. It'll be like China going into Hong Kong. I mean, for a century, Hong Kong has been free. They've enjoyed all these freedoms of Western, and just within the last, you know, year, communist China has just gone right in there and arrested people, and they have no way of climbing out from underneath that. I think that'll be exactly what will happen here.
That's a very dramatic statement. Are you basically saying we're at the doorsteps of the second American Revolution? That's basically what I got from that. That's how dramatic this is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, since they control tech, I don't see how people could even communicate with each other to organize resistance. I mean, it's, you know, it's,
wow.
I don't even know if there'd be a revolution because you wouldn't, it would be very, very difficult to,
it'd be segmented. It'd be broken down. Yeah. We got about 30 seconds. It's always a pleasure.
So in other words, I'm praying that Trump fight it to the end. So
AmericanMinute.com. What's the name of your other book about Christmas? We didn't even get to that, but what's that name of the other book?
Yeah. Well, if you want me on that one, I'll be glad to come on again. But my website's AmericanMinute.com. The book is Santa Claus, The Real History from Plato to the Present.
That was fantastic. God bless you, buddy. And stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. News on the other side, Uncle Kevin. And
we've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.